Welcome back to Eco Talk, and hope you're staying cool this sizzling summer. And been saying to myself a lot, we are sizzling while home is burning. Because, of course, we're having record heat waves across this country and in Europe, and it may be globally warming enhanced. We can't prove it, that's true, but just one more sign that our weather is a little bit out of whack. Well, if you're a scuba diver and you're cooling off that way, you probably, especially if you've been doing it for some years, have noticed that the coral reefs are getting increasingly less coral in color, and in fact, many of them are dying off. That's not a new problem, but it is a problem that is getting worse. What can be done about it? To find out more, and with a particularly timely peg on this story, we're going to check in with Brian Hoos. He's the executive director of the Coral Reef Alliance. Thanks for being with us. Pretty timely here in the middle of this hot summer as folks head to the ocean and maybe off to the Caribbean and other places where you used to be able to find beautiful coral reefs under the surface. Just recently, President Bush declared the uninhabited Northwest Hawaiian Islands a national monument, I guess in part to protect the coral reefs. Is that correct?
Actually, in whole to protect the coral reefs. It's one of the most remarkable environmental proposals that come out of the Bush administration in the last 6 years.
The entire
6 years.
So, of course, it can't be altruistic. It can't be actually motivated in the future-oriented direction, actually make a difference? Or maybe it can. Maybe I'm being too cynical here.
Well, of course, it's an election year. But the bottom line for the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, which is the majority of the coral reefs in the U.S., it's an area, a new marine protected area, the size of four or five states. It's bigger than the Great Barrier Reef, which used to be the largest marine protected area. And this will, after the regulations are completed and the planning is done, create an area that is off limits to commercial fishing and dedicated solely to the protection of these coral reefs and their inhabitants. It's a wonderful thing, regardless of how we got it.
Okay, that's what counts. It's what actually happens. It's the action, not necessarily the motivation. Well, how big a factor are commercial fishing fleets to the damage that we're seeing to coral reefs?
Well, it's one of the rogues gallery of impacts to reefs. Commercial fishing is, as you know, a huge industry on the planet. And in the last few decades, we've lost 95% of all the top predator fish in the ocean. And you'd think coral reefs, they only represent less than 1% of all the ocean areas. But they're home and habitat to 25% of all marine species. All marine fish. And so when we look at the impacts to wholesale fishing in the oceans, under a microscope on coral reefs. And as these top predators are removed from the reef ecosystems, there's a cascade effect that ripples down through the entire ecosystem and is part of the reef decline we're seeing right now.
I'm not a scuba diver, and I went snorkeling for one of the few times in my life. I'm one of these contact lens people where I don't like to go too deep into the water, but my husband's been scuba diving forever, and I remember he was so disappointed in the Caribbean to find, we had such a hard time finding coral reefs, and he just got pretty depressed and dismayed and despairing of how things had degraded since he used to go diving in the Caribbean a lot, and you know, we had to go many places before he could see a coral reef that was coral.
Yeah, the Caribbean is one of the hardest hit areas on the planet. In the past 40 years, the live coral cover, the indication of how much of the reef is covered with living coral animals, just in 1970 was about 50%. It's now dropped region-wide to 10%. And this is the highest area of loss, but worldwide, we've lost 30% of all coral reefs in just the last 40 years.
Now, how much do natural disasters like earthquakes and tsunamis impact coral reefs, and how some of the man-made degradation further imperils coral reefs?
Well, it's interesting. Coral reefs have been around for hundreds of millions of years. They have been able to withstand ice ages, storms, volcanoes, tsunamis, and they've evolved with these natural events, and actually those events help them diversify and thrive. Only in the last, since the Industrial Revolution, has our technology been able to overwhelm these ancient ecosystems. And so, if you want to put it in terms of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it's commercial fishing, it's coastal development, pollution from agriculture, construction, industrial processes and sewage, and then global climate change.
And what about the shrimping industry in particular? really affecting the mangroves and some of the natural barriers that can protect against things like tsunamis and storms,
well,
increasingly
right.
strong storms.
Mangroves are a critical part of the coral reef ecosystem. Many of the species that live on the reef go into the mangroves to lay their eggs. Juvenile larvae will go in there and be protected from some of the predatory animals. And as those mangroves are stripped out to create ponds for shrimp farming, two things happen. Those species lose that spawning ground and nursery area. They also lose an important filtration system that stops a lot of sediment from getting onto the reef. And then a lot of the chemicals and antibiotics that they use in shrimp farming then spill over and head out onto the reef, causing massive destruction.
Mm. So overfishing, development. What's the relationship between, you know, the burning of CO2 emissions and coral reefs being an increasing danger? How does it work? Is it as simple as the ocean temperature rising and that killing off the coral?
Could it be that simple? That's it in a nutshell. As carbon increases in the atmosphere and the planet's heating up, so does the temperature of the oceans. And corals can only live within a very narrow band of temperature. That's why they live in the tropics. But if the temperature rises above 30 degrees Celsius, the symbiotic algae that give coral its brilliant colors and also provide additional food for the corals, they die and leave the coral. And that's when you get that bleached look, that corals turn white. And if the stress isn't removed quickly enough, the corals will die of starvation.
That white coral just doesn't have that same coral luster somehow.
Well, exactly. But there's a 1-2 punch. As more carbon goes into the atmosphere, carbon gets absorbed into the water column in the oceans, and that's causing an acidification of the oceans.
That's my next question. That's no small issue.
No, because it turns out that animals that use calcium carbonate to create their skeletal structures or their cells or their shells, they can't do so effectively in an acid environment. And so corals, which secrete these limestone foundations, which these massive reefs are built over eons, they can't create those skeletons, and they can't reproduce that way.
And, of course, a more acidic ocean is not just affecting coral reefs and mollusks. I mean, there's widespread impact, the beginning of which we're just starting to see.
The size of the catastrophe could be well beyond all of our imaginations.
Okay, so let's pour ourselves a cold one, have a good cry, and then ask, what can we do about this? Can we do anything about this?
Well, thankfully, that's the great thing. I mean, we can talk about doom all day long, but we have...
Actually, they just give us an hour.
We have the technology, and we know how to save coral reefs. It just means making the decision and the investment to do so. I mean, the Northwest Hawaiian Islands is a great example, and so is Great Barrier Reef. By setting aside enough areas of healthy coral reefs in what are called marine protected areas, or MPAs, we can create a network that protects corals against these impacts, these onslaughts, and gives coral enough area to do the things it needs to do, to spawn, to reproduce themselves, to protect the fish, and to create intact ecosystems that work in concert with each other and ensure the lasting of the species and the ecosystems.
And in the meantime, those of us living far from Hawaii and the Caribbean and parts of Asia where coral reefs abound or did, we can curb our emissions because actually they have an impact.
That's exactly right. The more we do to reduce our contribution to carbon in the atmosphere, the more we're helping not only coral reefs, but the entire planet.
You think that message is getting out there as we document, you know, day in, day out, all the impacts, all the horrific consequences of our wayward ways?
Well, if July is any indication, no. We sold more gasoline in July than in any other previous beginning of the summer months. And paid more for it, too. And we paid more. But we do see people taking notice. If you go to globalwarming.org, many, many people are signing up in a virtual march.
Stopglobalwarming.org.
Stopglobalwarming.org, excuse me.
That's okay. There's lots of them out there.
Yeah.
And we have one, too, don'tbefueled.org. That's Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles, Hybrids, Not Hummers, a grassroots campaign started 4 years ago by a couple of us visionary moms in Marin County who, when they voted against CAFE standards in March of 2002, 6 months after 9/11, we thought there was something wrong there when they said, no, we're not going to require car companies to make more fuel-efficient cars because, as the car company said, Americans don't care about fuel efficiency.
Yeah,
but,
we
know now mileage matters. Yeah, well, you can sign the petition asking for more hybrids, not just a token one or two from each car company. You know, we all have to do our part. And I guess that's what this show is about, is beginning in your own backyard, beginning in your own office, beginning certainly in your own home to green up. And on that topic, I just should give a little tease to our next guest will be Jennifer Roberts. She's the author of Good Green Kitchen. So you don't have to go further than your own kitchen to start greening up. Brian, I know you don't have any kitchen comments, but I just thought I'd throw that in.
No, but I'll be listening.
Yeah, good. Because, I mean, after all, this does affect all of us, both in terms of our output, our impact, and then how it comes back. After all, it's a feedback loop. And I guess that's what we're trying to really reinforce here, is that it's all connected,
that's
folks.
That's exactly right. And coral reefs are not just pretty places. They contribute $385 billion a year to the global economy. If we lose that, we're going to lose a lot more.
Just like nature is not just a place you get in your SUV and go out and visit.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll call on you again as we continue to monitor what's happening with our coral reefs and ocean overall. And hopefully there'll be some good news soon as we begin to spread all this eco-awareness, and hopefully people do connect the dots and say, okay, I get it. I'm guilty. What can I do? And I mean, some of it's unfortunately not reversible, but we can slow the impact. We must slow the impact. Or explain to our kids somehow how we stood by blindly, deftly, and just said, oh, well, maybe there's another planet somewhere. We'll be back with Jennifer Roberts right after these messages.